just 5 hours and 2 miles apart, Mondo and Antoine Duplantis created LSU legendary lore, much in the same fashion as Kawhi Leonard did for Toronto and C.J. McCollum did for Portland. We're down to the final four in the NBA. LSU softball lands a national number 10 seed, while the seventh-ranked Lady Cajuns have to go on the road. But hey, it's softball championship season time, and we'll talk about it all today, Monday, May 13th, 2019.
The 0-1 to Duplantis. Hit high and deep to right field. Kerstad on the track near the wall. Makes a leap and it's gone! Three-run home run! Tigers take a lead! 3-2 is Antoine Duplantis. So a pitch he liked and drives it deep into the bullpen for his ninth home run of the year.
McCollum across midcourt. 90 seconds to play in the fourth. Gets a screen from Cantor, splits the defense, he's pumped, elbow jumper on the way, got it! And the Blazers back in front by three, 96-93, and CJ has 35.
Raptors, here we go. They get it to Leonard, drives right, down to the baseline, fall away for the win! Got it! Got him! And danced on the rim. It hit four rims and went down. Toronto wins 92-90.
How about that? How about that? Wow. Good afternoon. Hello, Acadiana. Welcome. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. My main man, CD, back in the master control suite in the 237 Roots Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, and 103.7 The Game. Great to be with you, your humble host right here, Studio 1A, and it is a Monday, Chamber of Commerce Monday. What a beautiful day. It makes you appreciate it even more after the deluge of rain and the potential of flooding. I hope everybody is safe wherever they may be. And we can dry out and move on. What a weekend it was in sports. My goodness gracious. Where do we begin? I just have one guest today. And we will talk with Dennis Shaver, of the head coach of the LSU track and field team, who for the first time in nearly, I don't know, three decades, LSU men's track and field claims the SEC championship. How about that? How about that? We've got that kind of conversation coming up with Dennis Shaver. And, of course, he'll talk about Mondo Duplantis, who set the collegiate pole vault record on his third and final attempt. And he got it done. What a stud who just lives up to the billing time and time again. Just a freshman in the cold, 19 feet, 8 1/4 inches. Are you kidding me? 19 feet, 8 1/4 inches in the pole vault at the SEC Outdoor Track and Field Championships at John McConnell Field in Fayetteville. Just a few hours earlier and only 2 miles away, Antoine, his brother, saved the day for LSU baseball with a late three-run homer to salvage a win over the Razorbacks as LSU won the final game after losing the first two. They win it 3-2. And there's all kinds of talk. Fans are short for fanatic. And there's all kind of talk about calling for Paul Menhary's head and all this stuff. And I understand the fans' frustration. It's been 10 years since a national title has been garnered by the program, and this was supposed to be the year with so much talent returning, the number one recruiting class coming in. And so far this season, it just hasn't worked. But look, Paul Menhary's seat is getting a little bit warmer than it's ever been in his time at LSU. And it is. There's no question about that. And Palminteri's approval rating was so high, and now it's taken a big dip. And there's a lot of people clamoring for change. But let's not forget, Mineri's won a national championship. He's just one full season removed from playing in the national championship finals. And last year's postseason finished with a loss to the national champion. So Scott Woodward's not going to take any action on this at this time. But I do believe, in my heart of hearts, you're going to see a new baseball coaching staff on deck. I think that's going to happen. I don't think anyone on the staff is safe, even Alan Dunn. I'm just telling you. I think that may be a conversation that is had. So regardless, we got a lot to talk about. Fun stuff. Look, the sky's not falling. LSU has UNO on Tuesday. Then the regular season wrap-up Thursday, Friday, Saturday as Auburn comes to town. We'll deal with that. We'll also deal with two softball teams. And, you know, I don't know what else you have to do if you're the UL Raging Cajun softball team. I don't know what else you have to do to host a regional. I just don't. They won the regular season undefeated. They won the Sun Belt Conference tournament on Saturday with a one-zip shutout of Coastal Carolina. They are 50-4 overall. An undefeated run in conference play. They captured its 15th Sun Belt Conference tournament championship in the 20-year history of the event. They absolutely dominate softball in that league like no one ever has. They also clinched the program's first 50-win season since 2012. They extended their winning streak to 27 games. They're number 7 in the country. They've made it to 21 consecutive appearances in the NCAA tournament, 29th overall, and they get the word that they have to travel to Oxford, Mississippi. I don't know what else yet. But I don't know what else you can do. I really, truly don't know what else you can do to secure a bid. But it is what it is, and they will begin play Friday, May 17th, as they take on Southeast Missouri at 3:30. Also in that bracket, the host, Ole Miss, will take on Chattanooga at 6 p.m. Meanwhile, the LSU Lady Tiger softball team secured one of the regional bids as the number 10 overall seed for the 2019 NCAA Softball Championship. They'll host the Baton Rouge Regional this weekend with Monmouth, Texas Tech, and Louisiana Tech. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Tiger Park. LSU's the number 1 overall seed in the regional. They'll take on Monmouth at 4:30 Friday in Tiger Park. And then Louisiana Tech will take on Texas Tech in the beginning, the opening game, at 2 p.m. So LSU will be the night capper. LSU's a nationally seeded team for the 5th consecutive season. They come into the postseason with a 40-16 overall record. They finish the regular season in a 3-way tie for 2nd place in the SEC. 14-10 in league play. But LSU did have 14 wins over top 25 RPI teams and 21 overall wins in the top 50. So a tougher schedule, and that's why they get to host, and the Raging Cajuns have to go on the road. So we'll hear from some of the Raging Cajuns on that. Hey, it is what it is. You got to go play where you got to go play, and I know they're looking forward to it. It seems to me a very winnable regional for the Lady Raging Cajuns. I believe that. Meanwhile, can you ask for better in basketball? How about Friday night, game 6, 0 points in the first half. Houston, Golden State tied with Steph Curry scoring no points in the first half. You knew that was troublesome for the Houston Rockets. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure that all out. Without Kevin Durant, Steph Curry ended up with 33 second-half points, and the Golden State Warriors ended the season for the Houston Rockets, who once again prove that ISO ball with James Harden just not going to cut it against Golden State. It's not. They got to change their approach. They got to figure out a new way. They give Golden State fits and more fits, but we said all the pressure in the world was on Houston to win that game. Golden State had the built-in excuse. Well, we don't have Kevin Durant. It's our first game without him. We can learn from this game. We'll go back home for game seven. We'll be a different team. But they didn't. And they got great bench play. Klay Thompson became the more aggressive player. He used to be just a catch-and-shoot guy, but he was taking it off the dribble, driving to the bucket, doing all kind of things. He kept him in it early, and then Steph Curry just finished it off. And then we had two Game 7s on Sunday. My, oh my, how good was C.J. McCollum of the Portland Trail Blazers? Who says the mid-range game is dead? Not C.J. McCollum. So good with the dribble. So good with step backs. He was absolutely sensational. Portland came back from a 17-point deficit on the road in a Game 7 at Denver and beat the Nuggets to advance to the Western Conference Finals. C.J. McCollum was just, it was one of the best games I've ever seen a player play in that situation ever. He was that good. And then we had Philadelphia at Toronto. Oh, what a game it was. And it came down to Kawhi Leonard, a corner jumper. Now, we've got the call. We've got the call. Clint's got it. If you're ready to play it, Clint, go ahead and play it if you got it. Here's Kawhi Leonard. 4 seconds left in the game. Score tied. Somehow, some way, Philly lets Kawhi Leonard catch the ball. You got to double team and not let him catch it. But he caught it, and here's the conclusion.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
There it was. They'd hit the rim once, twice, three times, four times, went in. The classic picture is to see Kawhi Leonard squatted down like a catcher. His assistant coach right behind him. Joel Embiid, all 7 feet tall, turning, looking around the corner of the backboard to watch. And the ball, you can see heads going up and down. Bounce after bounce after bounce. And then the explosion of the fans in the building. The explosion of the Toronto basketball fans outside in Jurassic Park watching it on a big screen, and Toronto moves on to the Eastern Conference Finals where they'll take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, what a weekend of hoops it was. My goodness gracious. You can call us at 337-706-0111. You can email me, askjordy@gmail.com. Askjordy@gmail.com. The big story nationally today, the Cleveland Cavaliers have found a new head coach. And they went to the college ranks. And they went to Michigan. John Beilein, leaving Michigan after 12 seasons, he's going to become the Cleveland Cavaliers coach. I think this is just full circle for a guy who started in high school, worked his way up. He's coached on every level you can except one, and now he's going to that one. Was it a more lucrative deal? Well, I'm sure it was. But Beilein reached the deal with the Cavaliers on Sunday, informed Michigan's administration of decision to leave for the NBA this morning, and he is gone. He is one of the guys I believe has a chance to be successful from jumping from college to the NBA. You know, you think about it, John Calipari wasn't very good jumping from college to the NBA. He's a much better college coach. Rick Pitino did some good things for a little while, but he was a much better college coach. You think of the NFL, my goodness, I think Pete Carroll was pretty darn good at both levels. I think Jim Harbaugh was pretty good at both levels. I still think he's a better, I don't know, is he a better pro coach? He had that great run with the 49ers. You know, you go back in the time, Jimmy Johnson was loaded when he was at Miami, loaded with talent. He goes to the Dallas Cowboys. They were loaded with talent, so I don't know how you figure that one out. Billy Donovan left Florida, went to Oklahoma City, got in the NBA playoffs a couple of times, but he might be a better coach. So what does Michigan do? Well, you know, you make Jay Wright at Villanova tell you no. You make Jay Wright tell you no. You make Steve Alford. I mean, excuse me. You make Billy Donovan tell you no. I think those are no-brainers. I really do. And then after that, you see what happens. But that's the big story nationally. All right, 337-706-0111. We don't have many of these days, but we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call, 337-706-0111. We've got LSU baseball on the table, LSU softball on the table, Raging Cajun softball on the table, NBA playoffs on the table, Mondo, track and field on the table. Whatever you want, we got it. It's an open Monday edition. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We'll be right back.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
All right, coming up around 2:30, we'll have former LSU baseball Tiger, won two World Series championships. Ryan Terrio will join us. He'll give us his summation on this LSU baseball team, who is basically underachieved this year. You can blame it on whatever you want, but nobody's feeling sorry when you have injuries. They've underachieved, and we'll get the lowdown from Ryan Terrio on that. Later on this afternoon, the SEC champion LSU men's track and field head coach Dennis Shaver will join us and talk about that. Boy, they're good. And talk about Mondo and all that. We mentioned UL softball. And I don't know, what a season. Undefeated in regular season Sunbelt Conference play. They sweep through the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. They're 50-4 overall, and they've got to travel. They've got to go to Oxford, Mississippi, to start their NCAA tournament journey. They don't mind. Here's head coach Jerry Glasgow. He said, we kind of saw this coming.
I've been coaching 10 years, and I've never got it right. And I had it first round, CMO, second round, Ole Miss. And exactly how I had it in my head, that it would go, and that's what we got.
That's what they got. They don't mind. They're not scared. They feel like they're a better team on the road. Here is Coach Glasgow again talking about they think they've got what it takes to win a regional.
You do what the committee says. I've said all along, whatever they say, that's what we'll do. And the beauty of having a good team, you've got a lot of confidence in it. It doesn't really matter as much about the brackets and where you go. I love my team. I've got tremendous confidence in them. And the key factor for us is to get ourselves in position to play a really good ball game and play at a high level here this week in the regional. As far as talent and skill, we've got what it takes to win a regional. So now it's a matter of getting ready mentally, getting ready physically, and then going out and performing.
So what does Coach Glasgow feel about it? I mean, there's a committee, and they choose 16 teams to host regionals, and they base that on what that committee's standards are. And here's Coach Glasgow talking about that.
Well, what the committee did, they went by RPI. And when they go by RPI, they're not just going by what you do, they go by what your opponents did. And, you know, we scheduled Baylor, we scheduled Cal, we scheduled Oregon State, we scheduled Oklahoma, we got iced out at Oklahoma. You know, Oregon State, Baylor, Cal had really bad seasons. And so that's basically, from the way the committee looks, That knocked us out of hosting. They didn't pick the, who they thought was the best 16 ball clubs in the country. They picked by a formula, by a set of standards, you know, things that combine the one-loss record, the conference finish, the RPI. I don't know whether they considered what the polls were at all, or I imagine a little bit, but they use a different formula, and it's not a reflection of who they think the best 16 teams are. It's 16 teams that fit the standards that they're looking for, and we didn't fit that because of what our opponents did.
All right. It shouldn't be that way. It should be what you do, and at 50-4, I'm sorry, they deserve to be hosting a regional. But Kara Grémillon, who took who was great at third base, scored the winning run after leading off the contest with a bunt single and taking second base on a throwing error, a one-zip win over Coastal Carolina to win the conference tournament. She said, we don't care where we go. We just didn't want to go to Baton Rouge again.
Honestly, I don't want to go back there. We've been there twice. I want to go somewhere else, start over, get to play a new team. So, yeah, I didn't want to go back to Baton Rouge.
And that's where they are. That's where they are. So they're heading to Ole Miss, and Kara Grémillon summed it up by saying, cut number four, they're pretty good on the road.
I feel like we play better away. Like, at home we have a big crowd, like a lot of pressure on us away. We're playing free. Like, we don't have anything to lose. We're going into a regional at a higher seed, and I think we're going to play free, and we're going to play at our, like, highest level.
So there you have it. That's a heck of a team now. It's a heck of a team. They've got they've got a little bit of everything. They can hit it. They can throw it. They're pretty darn good. I wouldn't want to face them. I really wouldn't. Lexi Como and company, they're pretty darn good. All right, we'll take a timeout here when we come back. LSU baseball loses 2 out of 3. They get an Antoine Duplantis home run to salvage the series, and they're struggling. Everybody's down on the Tigers. We'll get Ryan Terrio's take next.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. LSU baseball Tigers go to Arkansas and get salvaged out of a sweep when Anton Duplantis hit a 3-run home run. And so the Tigers are down to their 4 final regular season games. They've got UNO on Tuesday, and then a Thursday, Friday, Saturday at home as the Auburn Tigers come to town. They need some wins. They need some wins in a hurry. They need to do well in the SEC tournament to be able to be one of the regional hosts. I thought it'd be great to get an insight into this LSU baseball team with, I call him the consummate winner. He won a national championship in college. He goes on to Major League Baseball and wins 2 World Series, one for my beloved St. Louis Cardinals, another one with the San Francisco Giants. Now he does a plethora of things and great in the community of Baton Rouge, and that's Ryan Terrio. Ryan, kind enough to join us. We're going to get him in just a second. But he is a guy who is very passionate about LSU baseball. And I'm just curious as to what he thinks. He scored the game-winning run in the 2000 National Championship following a Brad Cressy single. That was the 5th national title for LSU in 9 seasons. Then he gets drafted by the Chicago Cubs. He has a cup of coffee with the Los Angeles Dodgers, gets to St. Louis, and they win the World Series in 2011. He moves over to the San Francisco Giants, and they win the World Series in 2012. So he's the consummate winner, and he joins us now to talk about this LSU baseball team. Ryan Terrio, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk with us, buddy. How you doing?
Well, there's nothing like the heads up there. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
The 3 minutes before, hey, bro, can you come on? Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I know, actually, I know.
Wrapping up a meeting with former LSU legend Doug Thompson, winning pitcher. I believe it was 97, 98?
Yeah.
So, yeah, all good, man. Thanks for having me, and appreciate it.
You're a spur-of-the-moment guy, and I want to catch you without any prep or anything like that because that's when you're at your best. I was told you kind of went off on this LSU baseball team after the weekend series. What are your thoughts now?
Man, I thought Saturday was awesome. You know, there was a ton of emotion. There was a ton of want to. There was fire in the dugout, and you saw some really big hits, Jordy. You saw a freshman take the ball and really put the team on his back and give him five solid innings. You saw that energy and passion from the past that you're so used to seeing, you know, from the teams back in the days and jumping out of the dugout, screaming and yelling. That's what this program is used to and was built on. And Saturday was great. It's a big win for the guys.
Huge win, no question. I mean, that's the fun of baseball. I mean, that's the way you are when you're a kid going through what all the leagues that you go through. It's all about the emotion, the fun, the enthusiasm, the toughness. And it has been lacking. There's no question about it. No one can refute that.
Yeah, man, it's, you know, it's weird. And you try to point your finger at one certain thing, and I'm not sure what it is. And I've tried for the life of me to figure out what was going on, but I can't and couldn't, you know, but I'll tell you this, Saturday was great. You know, when you take every game personal, when every pitch, every at bat, every situation means a lot to you, then you start to see that emotion. You know, you can't take midweek games off. You know, you can't ever let your foot off the gas pedal because, you know, then you get used to losing and used to not having success, and then it turns into commonplace and it's okay because it was a midweek game. And in reality, it's not okay. You know, you win every game. Every game means so much. I had a coach, Jordy, Bobby Dickerson, told me one time, it was the first game of the season. I was in AA playing for the Cubs in West Tennessee in Jackson. He said, the first game in his preseason speech, he said, the playoffs start today.
Wow.
You know, like this is the, we had 162 of them, right? So that's a long playoff season. But, but you know, that's how he approached it. And man, that's what winners do.
Yeah. And look, that game with the Plantis 3-run homer, sometimes it's just one moment that can jumpstart a team and get them on a run. You've seen that. You've been in that. And you just never know.
It absolutely is. You don't know what's going to trigger that. You don't know what happens in the clubhouse, that meetings are had, or, you know, we're not privy to all that stuff. And, you know, here's the good news. You know, you've got a guy at the helm that's won a ton of ball games. It's a national champion that understands how to win. You've got, a obviously super talented team. So, that's been riddled with injuries, but these guys are getting healthy, right? And if they come back and they're able to perform, you know, then that's why they were preseason number one, you know, because the pieces are there, you know, but now we just got to put them together.
Ryan Terrio, kind enough to join us. Is it fair? I mean, fans are fans. They love you when things are going great. They hate you when things are going bad. Is it fair for the fans to be on Palmineri like they are?
You know, it's unfortunate because, you know, I do believe that Paul has done a great job with this team. I mean, you think about actually LSU his whole tenure. When you think about taking over a program that was not in a good spot when he came in 12 years ago, winning a national championship, every year they're the number one recruiting class. It seems like you're pumping guys out to the major leagues every single season as well. You're still packing the box. You know, here's the unfortunate part is he can't go out there and play.
Right.
You know, and when you talk about criticizing coaches, you know, it's not necessarily the coach. It's the sum of all goods. It's the emotion. It's the intensity. And it's wins and losses. And where does it start? I don't know. You know, I'm not in the clubhouse. I'm not in there. But I will say this: Palmieri is a winning coach. Palmieri is a championship coach. And Palmieri has done a great job at LSU, you know, and leading that program. A lot of the criticism, you know, unfortunately comes with it. And that's why you make the big bucks. And you know, that's what you sign up for. He's a pro, man. He knows that. He understands that. And, you know, they've been hit with a lot of injuries. But here's my thing. Like, you got to win anyway.
That's right.
You know, the season ticket holder doesn't care. I mean, they care, right? They don't want the kid to be hurt, but you still got to win games.
Yeah.
You know, and figure out a way.
I played for the consummate fired up, emotional coach in Dale Brown. You played for Skip Bertman, who, and look, Dale and Skip, I know for a fact they both would get technical fouls or get ejected out of a game on purpose just to light a fire under the team. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just not Paul's personality. He's not going to do that. Or should he?
I mean, look, everybody's different. And you motivate in different ways. You know, I think when situations present themselves to do things like that, I think coaches do that. Look, a lot of it falls on that dugout, man, and the emotion there, and guys understanding their roles. You know, if you're not in the ball game, you know, what are you supposed to be doing at that point in time? If you're not playing, then you know, you're locked in and you're talking trash to the opposing team and you're encouraging your teammates and look, you know that, man. I mean, that's part of the deal. Like, it's a culture that was created there. Used to be in the past, Jordy, teams feared LSU.
Yeah.
You know, and games were won before they even started. That's the truth.
That's true. Yeah.
And you want to create that again. I'm not saying hit a home run or strike a guy out. I'm just saying take a convicted swing, fall down maybe, and then stare the pitcher down afterward. And I guarantee you he's going to go, oh, crap. Maybe I shouldn't throw it there. You know, the results are hard, man. I mean, wins, losses, base hits. I mean, that stuff's tough. It really is. But what's not hard is that sense of urgency, you know, the entire time. And that's all I want to see, man.
Yeah. You know, I always found that the most successful teams I ever played on were the teams that policed themselves. We were more fearful of letting our teammates down. And if we did, they let us know. And that was much worse than what the coach could do to us. Did you find the same thing to be true when you played?
I mean, Blair Barbie pulled me aside my freshman year, and I know you know Blair, but looked me in my eyes and said, if you don't perform, we can't win. And if we don't win, me and you are going to have problems.
Yeah.
and you know, and it's that moment, you know, 18-year-old kid talking to an LSU legend. First, I'm flattered that he thinks that I'm that good. And then second, I'm like, okay, you know, I got to do this for him. Yes, the team does that. The team polices itself.
Yes.
And there's a certain expectation too, right? There's a hierarchy in the clubhouse that's created. And it shouldn't have to come from the coaches, man. There should be an understanding of the tradition, an understanding of the guys that were there in the past. And that's the message I was trying to convey. It's like, dude, I knew the history of LSU baseball before I was in high school and those guys that were there. And I had this conversation with Patrick Coogan yesterday, and it was, man, I wanted to do good for you. And you weren't even at LSU when I was there. I wanted to make you proud, you know. And he's like, man, that's funny. I wanted to make Ben McDonald proud, you know. And so you want these guys, you know, you want them to go, man, like, it'd be awesome if Aaron Hill shot me a text one day, you know, and said, you're playing great. Like, you know, that's what you want these guys to feel. Because let me tell you something, that's a much stronger emotion than a coach telling you, you got to play good today or you're going to be on the bench.
Yeah. Oh, no question. I'm with you 1,000%. Ryan Terrio, kind enough to join us. To your professional career, I mean, my goodness gracious, when you think of the hierarchy of Major League Baseball, you played for the Cubs, you played for the Dodgers, you played for my all-time team, the St. Louis Cardinals, and you played for the Giants. Certain organizations are run better than others. Out of those four, which organization was the one for you that meant, man, this place knows what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, look, and there's been some turnover in all of those since I left. So the Cubs are not what the Cubs were
right
in 2010 today. You know, right, front office has changed and ownership has changed. So I can't really speak on them present, but I was blown away in the way in which Tony La Russa, John Mozeliak, and the owners in St. Louis handled that whole organization. It was a different feel in spring training. The expectation was not to go to the playoffs. It was to win the World Series.
Okay.
And every day was dedicated toward that. And lo and behold, we did. Same thing in San Francisco, man. Just super professional leadership. Bruce Bochy, same thing. You know, expected greatness. And, you know, really held guys accountable. Those two really stick out in my mind for sure. L.A. was tough, man. Joe Torre's last year and you know, it's just guys kind of coming in and out. It never helps when Manny Ramirez is on your team because he's all over the place. So, but it was those two. In Chicago, I was there for a long time, man. Had some great years in Chicago.
Yeah.
I wish I was there now because those guys seem like they really know what they're doing.
Yeah, Ryan Terrio, kind enough to join us. You knew you could play the game. You know that when you're in college because it's different from high school, Broadmoor to LSU. There's a moment where you go, okay, I got this figured out. When did you know in Major League Baseball that, okay, I'm not just here for a cup of coffee, I can play against the best of the best? Was there a moment when you realized in your mind, okay, we're good?
Yeah, I mean, there was a season in Double A in 2005 when I really kind of believed, you know. The old adage is if you can hit Double A pitching, you can hit Major League pitching. And so I had a real good season that year, and from a confidence standpoint, you know, really felt much better about it. Now, full disclosure, I was switch hitting. I never hit left-handed a day in my life until my first year of pro ball, which was crazy. So I was put
crazy
at a huge disadvantage there.
Gee,
for the
whiz.
First 3 years.
Thanks a lot,
yeah.
Skipper. Thanks.
Yeah, right. So, but yeah, man, that light went off in 2005 for me, and really just had that confidence. As far as getting called up to the big leagues, I mean, I was in a great spot because Dusty Baker had a ton of confidence in me and really ran me out there. It was a veteran-laden team, guys like Greg Maddux and Kerry Wood that were mm-hmm. pros, man, and would take you out to dinner and talk to you about the game. And so very inclusive, and so that helped tremendously.
Man, you got the Cubs in salary arbitration. You won that. You just win everything, man. You win it all.
Well, that arbitration is not fun. That's not
no,
fun at
no,
all. I wouldn't recommend doing that again. I would never do that again, actually.
Well, you got over a million more on them that they were offering, so, or close to a million more than they were offering. So that's good for you. All right. So in summation, Paul Maneri says a lot of people are down on us, but I'm not. We're good to go. We're going to be fine. You see the potential if they get these arms back. I mean, the potential's there to make a run, right? It's
sure.
Be.
No, absolutely. You know, you throw Cole Henry and Jaden Hill in the rotation, and you've got an elite 1-2-3. You know, so that's there. Guys are swinging the bats a little bit better. You saw Saturday a couple big hits. You know, the potential's there. The potential's always been there. You've got a leader in Paul that's done it before, that understands what it takes to win in Omaha, which is big, knows how to win regionals, super regionals. You know, so the recipe to succeed is absolutely there. You know, the guys need to understand that every game is important. The guys need to really lock in on this last few weeks, last weekend SEC tournament, and what you want is them to be peaking at the regional and
right,
playing their best baseball. And then your hope is that you can carry that through a super and then also into Omaha. I mean, if you remember in 2000, we won every game in the SEC tournament, every game in the regional tournaments, and every game in Omaha. And
right,
and so it's possible, and they've got the pitching to do it. Man, I'll tell you, they're more talented than that 2000 team. There's no doubt about that.
Okay. All right, I ask one final question. I ask all you big leaguers when I get them. If you were to go in the Hall of Fame and they said, okay, what hat are you going to go in with? Is it going to be the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Cards, or the Giants?
Oh, man. can I say Broadmoor? Probably the Cubs, man. I was there for a long time. Jim Hendry gave me my opportunity, my chance, and I thank him every day for that. And believed in me enough to give me a chance in the major leagues. And so it would have to be Chicago, man. They gave me my shot. Yep.
More than fair. More than fair. Man, you're the best. I can't thank you enough. Way to fire those Tigers up, big guy.
There you go, Jordy. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you again down the road. Thank you very much. Ryan Terrio, boy, he's really good. Really, really good. Knows the game inside and out. I think he'd be a great coach. I think he'd be a great coach if he ever decided he wanted to do that. I think he'd be great. Paul, you listening? Just saying. Right in your backyard. Been there, done that. Just a thought. All right, we'll take a timeout. Come back, wrap up our number one. Blah, 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 blah. The Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game. 103.7 The Game.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the app.
We're back 54 minutes after the hour. Special thanks to Ryan Terrio for coming on board. Short notice, but it worked. And thankful that he was able to hop on board. And, yes, he's spot on with so much of that stuff. And, look, it just sometimes takes one moment to reverse a trend. And we'll see if LSU can ride that DePlantis three-run homer. That plane ride was a lot better coming back from Arkansas after that win, in the dramatic fashion in which they did it. And we'll see if LSU, if that will springboard them. Again, the big news on a national front, John Boeheim leaving Michigan as its college basketball coach, taking over the head coaching position of the moribund Cleveland Cavaliers. They've been using that term of culture driver. And Boeheim, there's no questioning his success. No questioning. A very elite offensive tactician. He's a teacher of the game of basketball. He's a coach who's never been an assistant, and he's climbed to almost every level of basketball. He coached high school basketball. He coached junior college basketball. He coached Division III, Division II, and Division I. 829 wins overall is college record. And now he takes that final step, and that is the NBA. And I think that if, and this is a big if Dan Gilbert can be patient, and if John Boeheim can delegate some of the work to his assistants, because in college he's doing the whole thing. He's got to hire the right staff. He's got to go over his philosophy and then entrust his assistants. He's a quality person. He's grounded. I really think it would work. I really do. I really do. And there's a lot of people out there now that are saying, okay, who's going to get the Michigan job? Jay Wright, got to tell me no. I'd go after Brad Stevens at Boston. Maybe this year is the year that Brad Stevens goes, you know what, I've had enough of this NBA stuff. Let me get back into college. I can control more things. They listen better. I actually make more money than the players do. In the NBA, you have no control over any of that. Maybe Brad Stevens. Michigan is an elite program with a deep war chest of money. So it'll be very interesting to see who gets the gig. Beeline 66. And they didn't want to move far from Michigan, but this kind of fulfills his bucket list. And I think it would work. I really, really do. We'll see. We'll see. It'll be very interesting to see who gets the Michigan job from here. We'll see. All right, we'll take a timeout. Hour number one's in the books. We'll come back with hour number two. Hot topics, more on the NBA and LSU track and field wins the SEC Outdoor Championship, led by some sprinters and the best pole vaulter in the country, by far. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
All right, hour number two of two on this Monday, the 13th day of the fifth month of the 19th year of 2000. CD taking care of business. Yours truly, Studio 1A. So many people up in arms over the latest edition of Game of Thrones. Hey, come on. It's just make-believe. Come on. Enjoy it. Only got one more episode to go. I think Nick Saban may be right and accurate in his assessment as who's going to claim the Iron Throne. I'm just saying. Anyway, great weekend it was. We got past the rains and the floods. The sun is out. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. And we've got some things to talk about. We are presented each and every day by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. Free fried pickles today. Just go in. Just go in and have some fun. Because Hooters is just there to make you happy. Yes, indeed. Right there on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. The newest addition. It's been renovated. It's bigger and better than ever. And you can be a part of it. So again, Chase Elliott plays fourth in Kansas, and you win. So free fried pickles all day today. Go ahead. Get you some at Hooters. All right. Lots to talk about. Let's get busy. CD, time to take our daily walk around the proverbial sports water cooler. Button, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious. Decidedly better.
All right, Clint, there's a lot going on. You're a UL grad. Are you miffed? Are you miffed that the Raging Cajun softball team has to go on the road? Should they be hosting a regional, or does that even matter?
I feel like they definitely have a strong, strong case, but here's the thing, Jordy. This program has a lot of great things going for it. The big negative, though, is the conference they're in. We're talking about the fact that they were undefeated in conference play. The talent in the Sun Belt Conference this year was definitely a down, down, down year. Mind you, most years, it's a little bit of a down year for the Sun Belt Conference, unless you're the name the Louisiana Raging Cajuns last year, being a little bit of an exception with Texas State and Randy Rupp being a big deal for the pitching staff for the Bobcats last year to help them get the Sun Belt Conference title. I got to say, when you look at the Raging Cajuns, Jordy, I think they have the best chance to advance to the next round because you look at that draw, it's a decent draw, I feel like, for the Cajuns. You think they want to be in the next round?
I think they will. I think one of the players said it best. We're kind of better on the road. They're kind of like, some of the pressure's off of them, but 50-4, and they've won like 27 straight. That's unbelievable. So I think they've got everything you need, and that's certainly a winnable region, no doubt, no doubt.
And you were talking with Ryan Terrio earlier. He definitely said you need that kind of vocal leader. You need the alpha, if you will, to kind of light the fire underneath LSU. That was definitely a big talking point I had over the weekend as well. And I have to say, one person that stepped up, at least in my mind, is Todd Peterson. Because I caught the ninth inning of that game, and every time he threw a strikeout, he was just amped up, making noise, fired up. Yeah. And that's the kind of guy you want on the bump. But it got me thinking, can Todd Peterson be that vocal leader for the Tigers as they get ready for this final series against Auburn and prepare for the SEC championship game, SEC tourney, in a couple weeks, and then potentially get this team really understanding what's at stake here and be able to get this team, at least hopefully, being a regional host?
Why not? Somebody has to do it. Now, the problem is Peterson doesn't play an awful lot. He's only out there for a little bit. You got to get to him with a chance to win for him to be able to have that. So, it's got to be a collective thing. It's just Baseball is supposed to be fun. Sports is supposed to be fun. You're supposed to be able to let your hair down and go out there and sling it and wing it and get after it. This laissez-faire attitude and this, you know, okay, that, you know, it's just another day. No, it's, you got to have emotion. You got to be fired up. You have to be. That's the way it is. So hopefully it's collective, and hopefully that DePlantis home run and Peterson's efforts on the hill will get this team moving in the right direction. They got a great outing from Marceau, and then they closed it out, and they finished it out in dramatic fashion. So maybe that's that little catalyst. It only takes one little thing to get you going in the opposite direction. So we'll see if that will spur this Tiger team on, because they've underachieved to date. But you know the old cliche here.
Yep.
It's not how you start, baby. It's how you finish.
And they definitely finished strong in that series against Arkansas, avoiding the sweep, that clutch three-run home run from Antoine DePlantis. And I have to say, it's a great time to have that last name, Jordy, especially after you saw Mondo just break the collegiate record in his freshman season. It feels like it was just, you were just waiting for it to finally happen, and then it did.
Yeah. I mean, look, if anybody lives up to the billing, it's him. Everybody is waiting for it. Everybody's watching for it, and he just delivers time and time again. Set the record in the indoor. Set the record in the outdoor. Enjoy him while you got him, because there are riches awaiting this young man, and there's no doubting his being on that team and the results that they have garnered because of that. They go hand in hand. He's the best. He is the best.
It is amazing seeing that right now, Jordy. And I have to say, this is going to be interesting. We're talking about college sports. Might as well keep it going. Talk about college baseball, Jordy. College basketball, excuse me. Tulane just landed a pretty big fish. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but Kansas star KJ Lawson, he's jumping ship to the Green Wave. He'll be immediately eligible to play. And then you also got Kriston Thompson from the University of Rhode Island. He'll be a grad transfer. All this reported by Jeff Goodman of Stadium. I have to say, this Tulane team with Ron Hunter is already looking to be a giant.
Give Ron Hunter a lot of credit. He's done more in a month than Mike Dunleavy did in multiple years as far as recruiting is concerned. Yep. That was a favor. That was a friend. Mike Dunleavy doesn't want to go recruit. He's an NBA coach. He's not out there beating the bushes like this coach is. So, I mean, instant gains for the Green Wave. And that's great. Good for them.
About to say, it almost sounds like what we saw a couple years ago when Herm Edwards got hired on as the head coach of Arizona State. Mind you, I feel like you've got a lot more dividends in the first year with Herm Edwards than you did with Dunleavy.
Yeah. We'll see if they can sustain success. And it's really curious to see what Les Miles and Mac Brown are going to do at Kansas and at North Carolina. Can they conjure it up and bring back, quote, the DiNardo saying of bring back the magic? We'll see. We'll see.
Or at least just make it so more people show up to that, because honestly, both of those definitely can enjoy. It's a basketball school. Enjoy that.
No. Yeah.
Speaking of basketball, Jordy, my goodness, Kawhi Leonard, redemption for Toronto, Jordy, last night. Because 18 years ago, Vince Carter missed a shot in the playoffs to send him to the Eastern Conference Finals. About 18 years ago, Jordy. And now you have Kawhi Leonard doing that. Wasn't that one of the top five clutch shots of all time?
Well, you know, it was a great shot. Now, if it had gone in and they had been down by one and he needed that bucket to win, that takes it to a whole nother stratosphere. The score was tied, so win, lose, make it or miss it, they're going to play five more minutes or the game is over. But considering what he did, Ben Simmons passed him off to Joel Embiid. That's a 6'10 to a 7-footer, and he called it. You think of the things that goes through somebody's mind in 4 seconds, how he thought, you know, we had done this earlier in the year. I knew that Embiid was on me. I had to shoot the ball higher up in the air to get it over him. All these things in a split second. It's just remarkable. And Kawhi Leonard was so good that entire series. So good. He was remarkable. But we got to give some love to C.J. McCollum of Portland. How good was he in Game 7?
I think
on the road.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Jordy. He's been doing phenomenal stuff, and I think it's time for somebody to tell Jennifer. Is that hard enough that he's trying for Jennifer?
Why not?
Possibly my favorite thing in the world right now. Why but, man, not? I have to say, Jordy, I was interested in seeing this pop up this morning. John Beilein, one of the big headlines, obviously, head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is the right move for Beilein after 12 years at Michigan, joining a Cleveland Cavaliers team that is going to take some time to become a little bit more reputable, if you will.
Look, if anybody has the demeanor for it, I think he does. I think he's an excellent tactician. He's very skilled with offensive sets and all that. If he gets the right staff together and learns how to let them, to delegate things so he's not controlling everything like he did in college. And if Dan Gilbert, and this is a big if Dan Gilbert, the owner, shows a little bit of patience for the first time in his life, I think it could work. I really do. But they got to get better players, obviously. Obviously.
Well, I mean, I think they're going to have a lot of patience, and they're probably going to wind up playing better, but it'll take a couple of years. And I think you wind up seeing him do a lot better job than what we're seeing with Rob Pelinka and that whole bleep show going on in La La Land with Vogel as the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, my God.
Just tarnishing the legacy of the Lakers.
Does that spell, like, what are you doing? The Lakers want splash. They want Hollywood. They want Pat Riley. They want all that, and they get Frank Vogel. That's like going from an Armani suit, no offense to Sears, but that's like getting one off the rack at Sears. I don't get it.
From a Goodwill, Jordy.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, gee whiz.
It's
anyway,
a mess.
Again, they are the New York Knicks of the West. There you go. Unbelievable. All right. Thank you, Mr. Domain.
Oh, you're welcome, man.
Good job, as always. Coming up, we've got Dennis Shaver, LSU track and field coach there. The men's team just won the SEC championship. That's coming up at about 32 minutes after the hour. Hot Topics is always brought to you by the best hot sauce on the planet, Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. The Biard family right there in St. Martinville for nearly 9 decades. A family tradition passed down from generation to generation with one goal in mind: put out an excellent product each and every day. And they have. They've lasted the test of time because they use the finest spices, the finest peppers, and those little secret ingredients. Put it all together, and there's your Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. You can find it at your favorite restaurant, your favorite grocery store, but sometimes maybe you can't find it when you go out of town. So do like we do. Bring a small bottle with you wherever you go. Raging Cajun fans, heading to Oxford, Mississippi, bring some Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you. That food in Oxford's going to taste a whole lot better. Do yourself a flavor. Get some Cajun Chef Hot Sauce and bring it with you. We'll take a timeout. We'll be back with more. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. We're on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game.
Hi, welcome back. It is 19 minutes after the hour, and then there were four teams left. We've got the Eastern Conference finalists, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors, and we've got two Western Conference finalists, the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trail Blazers. Golden State won their best of seven series over the Houston Rockets, four games to two, with a 118-113 win on Friday night, as Steph Curry, scoreless in the first half, picked up some fouls, scoreless, ends up with 33. Kevin Durant will miss game one of the best of seven Western Conference Finals, which will take place tomorrow night at Oracle Arena. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, Toronto and Milwaukee, will be Wednesday. So we've got basketball Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. One game apiece. It's going to be great. What does this mean for Kawhi Leonard. I don't know what's going through his mind, you know, but the fact that his team won certainly increases the belief of Toronto Raptor fans that Kawhi Leonard could stick around a little bit longer. 41 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists in 43 minutes. He has been literally carrying a team on his shoulders. He has been so good. So good. And, I mean, look, his coach, let's go to the competing coach, Brett Brown of the Philadelphia 76ers, who they put up a game fight, but they fell just a little bit short. Brett Brown, cut number one, talking about Kawhi Leonard.
Not to pretend like you can forecast anything, it didn't surprise me that it ended up falling in. It did seem like it was up there for a while, but with the way he missed and the bounce of the ball and the fact that it did go straight up and not, you know, go to the right or the left, it's a tough way to lose. I mean, that's a hell of a win. That's a tough shot, and what a tremendous series.
It was a tremendous series. Nick Nurse is the coach of Toronto, and he talked about the thrill, cut number two, the thrill of coaching Kawhi Leonard.
Whether we're in the huddle or in the locker room or in the film room, he's always locked in on what the coaching staff is saying, and I think that is a interesting thing about him, right? He's very coachable. He's focused and pays attention, so that's a pretty big statement to say that.
He showed emotion, which you very rarely see out of Kawhi Leonard after hitting the game-winning shot. And he talked, cut number three, Kawhi Leonard talked about the game winner himself.
Embiid was guarding me. He's taller, longer than me. So, you know, end up finding a spot that I, you know, like, that I work on. I end up getting to a spot. And I just knew I had to shoot it high. A couple possessions before that, I had the same kind of shot from three. It ended up coming short, and, you know, I just thought I had to put it up even higher than that and end up getting a soft touch and going in.
And it was all that and then some. Ben Simmons, the former LSU Tiger, talked about Leonard, and he was on him for a brief moment in that four-second span before Joel Embiid took over. Ben Simmons, cut number one on Leonard's game winner.
Took a tough shot. And he's an incredible player and made it. Joe obviously got out there and was able to put a hand up, but, I mean, he's a great player, made a great shot. I got a lot of respect for the Raptors. It's the way they played. You know, they kept grinding it out, made it tough on us. But I'm also proud of my guys who, you know, we stayed there. And it was a fight.
It was a fight. It was a heck of a game. That was the early one. And then we finished off with a tremendous, tremendous game in the Western Conference as Game 7 in Denver, the Portland Trail Blazers down 17 at one point in time. Down 17, come back, rally back, and take a four-point win in Denver to advance. And look, C.J. McCollum is sometimes overlooked. Damian Lillard tends to get all the notoriety, and Lillard has struggled, although he put up numbers. He only had 13 points, but he did get 10 rebounds, and he did get 8 assists. But make no mistake about it, it was all about C.J. McCollum, and he was tremendous. And he talked about, look, the team struggled early. I had to do something. Here is C.J. McCollum.
I think we came out a little tight defensively. Things were too easy for him. They was getting transition baskets, dunks, drop-offs. We just needed to make it a little bit more difficult. And I think as we settled in, we understood that it's a really long game. They were at home, and if we can get the game close, we felt like they would tighten up. And our biggest thing was just one stop at a time, one possession at a time.
One shot, one stop at a time, one possession at a time, and he was dynamite. And give credit where credit's due. Terry Stotts, Damian Lillard, they all recognized, okay, this is CJ's day, and we got to get him the ball. And they got him the ball each and every trip down the floor, it seemed like, and he certainly delivered. Here's the head coach of Portland, Terry Stotts, talking about the game of the career of C.J. McCollum.
I mean, obviously we try and get him the ball in places and have his teammates in right spots, but he wanted the ball, and you know he has the ability to make things happen with it.
He certainly does. Take nothing away from the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic was tremendous. 29 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists. He talked about what it feels like. Cut number 2, what it feels like, obviously, after that brutal loss.
Sad, disappointed, just because it was a tough game and we had our chances, they had their chances, and they just used it smarter, I can say like that.
Well, you know, statistically, Portland, 20 of 24 from the free throw line. Denver, 28 of 39. They missed 11 free throws, and that will come back and haunt you time and time again. Offensive rebounds, Portland came up with some big ones when it counted. And now, we'll see. Milwaukee's really, really good. They'll be taking on Toronto. That's length, and it'll be interesting to see if the Greek Freak takes on Kawhi or where we go from there. I like Milwaukee in the series. I like Golden State in the series over Portland, but Portland has guard play, and you know what I feel about guard play, and we'll see how they can do it, but so do – who are you taking? Steph Curry and Klay Thompson or C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard? I think everybody in the world would take the Golden State Warriors too, because they've been there and done that, and they showed an incredible amount of resolve and toughness and the old proverbial heart of a champion. And they just proved to Houston once again. Houston was doing really, really well with Chris Paul penetrating, throwing alley-oops, hitting shots. And then for some strange reason, they go back to James Harden, and they do that iso ball, and he just waits and dribbles and dribbles and dribbles and dribbles and pounds it and pounds it, and the shot clock gets down to 3, and he jacks up a 3. I just don't understand how that works. But Houston can't get it done. So the Final Four is set in the NBA, and we'll see. It all gets started on Tuesday, and we'll see how it goes. LSU Track and Field wins a SEC championship. We'll be back with the head coach next.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. We are here now to celebrate an SEC Outdoor Track and Field Championship that occurred on Saturday night in Fayetteville, Arkansas, at John McDonald Field, as LSU's men, for the first time in nearly 3 decades, become SEC champions. And head coach Dennis Shaver is here to join us. Man, coach, congratulations on a job well done by your athletes.
Yeah, certainly. That isn't that the truth? You know, the weather was less than ideal, but they didn't let that stop them. They just took it one day at a time, got done what we needed to do, and I couldn't be more proud of a deserving group than the guys we got here this year.
You talk about chemistry. You talk about commitment. You talk about work. And I think this group encapsulates all of the above.
Yeah, they do, and I think, Jordy, the big thing is that it didn't make any difference, you know, whether they were freshmen or whether they were seniors. They all took the same kind of an approach and had that kind of confidence that you have to have. And for us, you know, it was what really put us over the top. You know, we've been so close so many times and been second at the SEC meet. What put us over the top really is the fact that our jump crew, you know, obviously, scored us a lot of points, and we've been missing that. And we scored in every one of the jumping events at the meet, and I think that was the real, real big key. We did pretty much what we've always done in the sprints, hurdles, and relays, but when you add that, that was the difference maker for us.
Well, let's talk about those jumpers, and it's got to start off with the freshman from Acadiana, Lafayette High School, Mondo Duplantis. He gets the indoor record. Now he sets the outdoor record, 19, 8 and a quarter. Tell me your thoughts as you witness this young freshman do his thing.
Well, you know, Jordy, it's been an amazing year for us here, you know, with the track and field program, having somebody like Mondo being a member of the team and having that kind of aurora and confidence and experience behind him that, you know, when the big meets roll around. And, you know, I'm just thankful that, you know, that the weather did hold out to where they could vault outdoors. The temperatures were in the 50s, so it wasn't a great, climate to be jumping, but he didn't let that bother him at all. You know, what's exciting when you think about it, you know, from just a historical standpoint, nobody's ever lined up in college ever and jumped that high. And to be the collegiate that's record amazing. Holder and to do it under those conditions and to break a record that's been there for a long time, Jordy, over 20 years. So that was just totally awesome for Mondo to be able to do that at both the SEC indoor and the SEC yeah. outdoor championship meets. It was really special, a special night. And, hey, about, you know, the Duplantis family? I mean, it was a special night for them
weekend.
As a whole, you know.
Yes, not a bad weekend in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Dennis Shaver, kind enough to join us. I'm still intrigued by this thing. He beats his nearest competitor by nearly a foot and a half. That's got to be a huge. But he's sitting there. Everybody else is jumping, and he's so good, he's passing on all these jumps. So he's got to wait nearly 2.5 hours before he jumps. What is that normal for him?
Well, yeah, you know, the funny thing about you mentioned that is that's not an ideal situation, but no one handles it better than him, and I have to go back to when he was in high school at the state meets, you know, indoors and outdoors and some of the other meets that we host here that Mondo would jump. You know, you got to be checked in before the event starts, so you got to be there. But yeah, you know it's going to be a pretty long period of time before you're actually going to get the opportunity to jump. And, you know, I was nervous. I'll just be honest, Jordy. I mean, you know, when the temperature's 50-something and he's sitting out there for 2 hours before he's going to get a chance to jump, you know, and I'm looking at the point totals as the afternoon goes along or the evening goes along, and I'm thinking, okay, we got to get 10 out of this pole vault, and he hadn't even jumped yet, you know. And the pole vault's been going on for a long time, so I'm just so thankful that he's having that kind of season for our men's team, because this is by far, I think, one of the best men's teams that LSU has had historically speaking, you know, that's exciting for all of us.
Dennis, this may be the stupidest question that you may have been asked, but Mondo came in so recognized and so good. How do you coach a guy like that? Or do you just leave him on his own? How does that work?
Well, let me tell you how it works. You know, we're so lucky that his parents, you know, have been willing to put in some time, and we're allowed to have a pole vault volunteer assistant coach. And so Greg was fortunate enough, his dad, who's coached him since he was a toddler. So Greg and Helena have deserve a lot of the credit for the contributions that they made. So it's been really kind of a smooth transition for him. You know, we've added some awesome facilities for him to train in versus what he was doing at home. But when it comes to the training itself, you know, the plan all along was for him to jump well for us at these big championship meets and be ready to jump this summer and jump at the World Championships. That's still the goal, and I know he's going to have a heck of a season as the summer goes along.
What do you foresee from him one day?
Well, you know, this is what I foresee, and I don't want to put pressure on the young man, but he's always handled the pressure well. The bottom line is that for every age group growing up, all the way up to the level at which he's at now, he's the world record holder. So I think that says that if anybody's going to have a shot at that world record in the pole vault, Mondo Duplantis is somebody that you would put at the top of your list. If you were a gambling man and you had, say, a 2 or 3 year period to get that accomplished, I don't think you'd be losing too much money.
Thanks for the tip, Dennis Shaver, kind enough to join us. You mentioned some other ones. Javon Harrison wins the high jump, and Christian Miller wins the triple jump. So there's your jumpers, and they used to not happen at LSU. Used to have to get everything in the sprints and all. But man, what a relief to have this the fielders doing what they do.
it's been a difference for us. And Javon, you know, of course, went in the high jump. Then he also was second in the long jump on the same day. Those were huge accomplishments for us. And Ravon Gray also scoring big in the long jump. You know, those are big points. And I have to say, I'm really proud of Christian Miller. You know, Christian has always had that in him, but he's just struggled all the time. And this year, he's really been able to put it together. And he's from over in that Lafayette area, too. So we're very fortunate. And he's an SEC champion. He did it, Jordy, he did it on his last jump. He had to get that jump in to win it. And it reminded me of the old days when we had a guy here by the name of Walter Davis that a lot of people will remember, you know. So I'm real proud of Christian. He's well deserving of that. He's put a lot of work in over the years.
Your men, great accomplishment, and your women who have always been great, and both teams are ranked so high on the national polls, but just the impact that Sha'Carri Richardson has completed the meet triple with wins in the 100 meters, 200 meters, and she anchors the 4x100-meter relay. She's just the latest in a long line of great sprinters, I think, at LSU.
Yeah, we're really lucky. She's the third freshman ever at LSU to win those races as a freshman at the SEC meet, and we all know what that means. If you're winning the SEC, you got a shot at the NCAA title. And, you know, she's just really adapted well. She's a fierce, great competitor for our team, and we're really lucky to have her. And at the end of the day, she's from Dallas, Texas, so when we go back to Austin for the NCAAs and she gets to run on the same track that she won the state championship in high school, that's going to be a real exciting time, and I hope we get a lot of fans in Austin for that championship.
That is awesome. So what's it feel like getting doused with whatever you got doused with in 50-degree weather? How did that feel?
Well, it felt, I'll put it this way. I hope we get to do it a lot more times. We don't have to wait 29 years to get it done. But at the end of the day, the water, it was cold, but the ice that went down the back of my shirt and stayed in my shirt, that was the killer. That stayed there for a while.
You'll take it every day of the week and twice on Sunday. You got to be proud, again, of the accomplishments. I've said it before. The women have always been unbelievably right there in the mix all the time. Your men have been in the mix, but you know they've come oh so close, and now that they've gotten it, that's got to be so rewarding for you to see this program get to the level that it is again.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the thing about the men's team is that we've always been, you know, very, very competitive, particularly at the national level, more so maybe than at the SEC level, because those are really a couple different kind of meets, you know. But this group, you know, our coaching staff's done a great job of assembling this group, and the jumpers were something that we were really focusing on the last couple years to try to get some people in here that could really help us at that big meet at the SEC. And we're just really fortunate. And to be honest with you, I'm so proud of these guys, and because they definitely were the team that deserved to win that meet the most this year.
Kerry Vincent plays football. He also runs track for you. He was part of the relay team. He's pretty good, isn't he?
Well, you know, Joey, he is. He's really an excellent starter and accelerator, does a tremendous job for us. And I know that when we go once again back to Austin, where he won the state track meet in the 200 meters in Texas his senior year, I know he's excited and looking forward to that. And this year we're going to be running him in the 4x1 and the 100 meters when we get to Austin. And I know he's going to do great things for us. We're very lucky to have the kind of relationship that we have with the football program, which we've always had here at LSU, and look forward to that maintaining that throughout the future.
And look, no slight on your women. They finished with 83 points. They were 2 points behind A&M, 1 point behind Kentucky. Very easily could have been in second place. I'm sure they're motivated to get to Austin. So now, when does that occur, and how much downtime do you have? And I guess you got to keep them fine-tuned, but you can't. That's what I always admire about coaches. They know when to push them, when to let go, when to let them get off their feet and relax. What's the plan now?
Okay, here we go. I'm going to run through it, Jordy. I appreciate you asking. All right, so this week we'll be training here in Baton Rouge this week, and then on Tuesday of next week we travel to the preliminary rounds of the NCAA championship meet. The NCAA championship meet is really a 5-day event for each gender. Three wow. of those rounds or three of those days are run in Jacksonville, Florida. So we'll be running on the 23rd, 24th, and 25th down in Jacksonville for the preliminary and quarterfinal rounds for our athletes. Then we'll travel home, and then that Memorial Day week, starting on Monday, we'll be training again during that week. And then the following Tuesdays when we're, or excuse me, the following Sundays when we're off to Austin. And, of course, that meet in Austin starts on Wednesday, the 5th of June. Okay. The men will be competing on the 5th, the women on the 6th. Then the men's finals will be on the 7th on Friday evening. Oof. And then the women's finals will be on the 8th, all in Austin on 5, 6, 7, and 8 of June.
You got some time between all this stuff. So the goal is to get as many individuals out of Jacksonville to be eligible to compete in Austin, correct?
That's exactly it. That's the trick. It's the only track meet you go to all year where it doesn't matter who wins. It's just about advancing, you know.
Survive and advance. Well, congratulations. Exactly. I'm thrilled for you. Job well done. And that DePlantis kid. I mean, look, I don't want to single one person out, but the fact that he's doing what he's doing, is he going to get to 20 feet one of these days?
Oh, he will. Yeah, I'm sure he will. We're just so proud to have him on our team, and so fortunate, you know, for the whole DePlantis family and the commitment they've made to LSU and representing LSU and in all the sports that they participated in. It's just totally awesome. We couldn't be happier.
Dennis Shaver, congratulations, my friend, and keep up the great work, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Jordy. Have a good one.
All right, you take care. Dennis Shaver, yes, they amazing what they do. I've seen DePlantis once. That son of a gun. And he's going to get stronger. You know that. 19 feet, 8 1/4 on his last jump and got it done. He's sitting there just minding his own bed. Y'all, you guys go ahead and jump. Y'all go fight it out. I'll be here. Just keep on going. I'll be here. I'm waiting until I get to this mark. I'm not trying to psych you out, but why do I need to jump all these little piddly jumps? I'm starting here, and you just might as well know it. Man, you talk about an intimidator. Huh. Yes, indeed. And he gets it done every time. What a great job. Mondo. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. A little event in history. Some birthday wishes. We'll set the stage for tomorrow as well. This is the Jordy Helpert Show.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helpert Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia Exit in Bro Bridge. It's the best because they've got everything for your travel needs. Whether you're going 5 miles, 50 miles, or 500 miles, they've got it all for you. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Snacks and beverages galore in that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner. Holy cow, it is awesome. Absolutely awesome. DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Bro Bridge. It's my go-to stop. Man, give it a shot. It'll be yours as well. So if you've missed any of our interviews today, Ryan Terrio in hour number one, talking LSU baseball, and Dennis Shaver in hour number two, talking LSU track and field. Go to 1037thegame.com, and you can find it and listen to it, spread the word, and do it. Follow us on Twitter at JHS1037, at JHS1037. Got to play a little golf this morning with my son. God, he's so much better than me. Sheesh. You know, golf is, and that's what the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black coming up this weekend. It's the most humbling sport I've ever played. You can be hit it really, really good on one shot, and then the very next shot, you can look like you've never swung a golf club before. It is, I am so in awe of golfers who are really, you know, these pros. that just win, and they're always in contention. It is absolutely, I'm in awe, amazed by it. It's no fun when your son beats you, but he beat me like a drum. He's good. Didn't get it from me. But it's the one game. I could pick up a basketball right now, and I could make, all kidding aside, I could make 8 out of 10 free throws like that. It's muscle memory, right? You've done it so long, so often, it just becomes a habit. Golf, man, you got to play that game a lot. You got to play it a lot to be good. And then everyone's, even the good ones, will have a time when they just can't hit it right. It's just, and I've always said this, I don't know why I'm going on this golf diatribe, but I am a reactionary person. I'm used to playing sports where you've got to be quick on your feet. You don't have time to think. You react. Man, that golf ball's sitting there, and I'm looking at it, and it's going, it's laughing at me. And I got this big club in my hand, and it's going, all right, if you don't do it just right, it's going to be an ugly shot. You're going to slice it. You're going to hook it. You're going to dribble it up there. And everybody that's watching is just going to shake their head going, golly. So it's tough for me. I admire all you out there that are listening that play it and play it well. I'm jealous of you. I really, truly am. All right, listen, enough of that. Let's go to our daily history lesson CD. It was on this day, May 13th, the year 1997, for many years, Dikembe Mutombo controlled the paint, and people would challenge him time after time, and he'd send it the other way. And what was his signature? The finger wag, like, don't come in my house. Don't come here. Well, on this day, May 13th, Michael Jordan went up, dunked over Dikembe Mutombo and all of his 7'2", and with his arms reaching up, he was probably, gee whiz, I don't know how tall, just so tall. He could touch the rim without jumping, tall. And after the dunk, Jordan backpedals and does the finger wag right in Mutombo's face. It was one of the more iconic scenes ever, and it added just to the aura and the legend of number 23. On this day, May 13th, 1997. If today, May 13th, is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have a great day. You share with the likes of happy 68th birthday. Very superstitious. Stevie Wonder. The Worm is 57. Dennis Rodman. What a rebounder he was. Unbelievable. Happy 52nd birthday to Darius Rucker. All right. From LSU lore, happy birthday, Lyle Mouton, one of Acadiana's finest. Mike Soroka, left-handed pitcher. And happy 26th birthday to one of the best defensive players I've ever seen, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, celebrating his 26th birthday today. Thanks to our guests, Ryan Terrio, Dennis Shaver. Thank you, CD. Job well done, as always. Thanks to all of you for listening in, to our partners that make it possible each and every day. We greatly appreciate you. Yes, indeed. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game. We'll preview LSU, UNO baseball. We'll preview Golden State Warriors, Portland Trailblazers, and who else? Whatever else happens out there, we'll be right on top of it. So come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game. Have a great rest of your afternoon and evening. It's a beautiful day. Get out there and enjoy it. My daughter just finished her last final exams of 8th grade. You talk about excited and happy. She is thrilled, and I'm thrilled for her. Straight A student. Love her to death. She is the best. All right, Bumper to Bumper Sports is next. Until tomorrow, same time, same station. I'm Jordy Helper. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.